The movement of people from one location to another, one country, one continent to another, is nothing new. Migration is as old as humanity itself. This coming and going has been driven by any number of factors. The earliest reasons for migration are probably a matter of basic survival, securing food and resources, ensuring greater safety, adapting to changes in climate over time, and relieving population pressure. And apart from necessity, you can imagine there must also have been people who just wanted to explore. People who wanted to find out what was over the next mountain and what was beyond the next sea. I'm sure there have been many people moving away simply to seek a better life, and who could blame anyone for that? Today, these seekers of a better life abroad would be objected to as simply economic migrants. Now, if migration is as old as humanity itself, and it seems to be, why the fuss about migration in our time? Just think of the illogicality of the objections. A particular example can be found in the United States of America, a country whose population today is largely comprised of immigrants and descendants of immigrants from the old world. Those who object to refugees arriving in the US need to be reminded of the words appearing in a plaque at the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to break free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Wonderful sentiments, I'm sure. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. But these words fail to ring true today. Today, it's a lot more a case of, thanks a lot. Your parents have built up this country, but the rest of you stay where you are. Fortress America has not only become an idea in the minds of some people, it's even given rise to a board game called Fortress America. Admittedly, the board game is based on the concept that the US is being attacked on all sides by invading forces rather than by unfortunate people seeking shelter. The UN tells us, and we probably have all read this, as of the end of 2022, there are more than 100 million refugees in the world. People who have been forced to flee war, conflict and persecution. 100 million people. So many people in our time lacking a basic necessity, a place to call home. Faced with these statistics, we would do well to remember the words of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. Refugees are not an inconvenience. They are a summons to conscience. I mentioned Fortress America, but we cannot afford to be smug when it comes to the issue of immigration. We don't have to travel to the US to find lip service paid to the idea of respecting our common humanity. Here in Europe, we have our fortress constructors as well, people who protest at the attempt to house refugees. Another case of a prosperous community defending its boundaries and keeping the poor outside the walls. The Mediterranean has become a watery grave for so many refugees. The International Organization for Migration estimate that 30,000 refugees and migrants have been reported dead or missing on their journey across the Mediterranean to Europe. That's only the figure since the 1st of January 2000. We can become desensitized by the numbers. Millions of people displaced, tens of thousands lost in the Med, hundreds missing when a refugee boat capsizes. Is there any mention of a search for bodies when a migrant boat goes under? Not much at all. After all, these are just the bodies of the poor. These outsiders are nobodies. By grouping people together in statistics, we fail to see the faces of the lost, all of them different faces. And we fail to appreciate the pain and the suffering of the people left behind. Each one of these numbers is a person, a real person. Someone like you and me and everyone listening to this. A person with the same hopes for happiness. Each person lost was someone full of dreams, an individual with potential, seeking a better life. Each one setting out on this perilous journey in hope. And each one a life extinguished too soon. A quote from the Dalai Lama. When we see photographs and reports of refugees, they are our brothers and sisters. Our response to this suffering will be the measure of our humanity. here we are on a fragile, vulnerable planet. Even this week, we see large parts of the planet on fire. In other parts, people drowning in floods. What would it say about a civilization on the point of climate disaster if we still divide people according to wealth or colour? If we still fail to take care of one another? We are all in this together. How could it be right if we secured our borders, turning our backs on those in need and creating a fortress Europe? All the great religions, as well as humanists and agnostics of goodwill, they all preach the same message, the golden rule. The teaching is very simple. We should treat other people as we would wish them to treat us. And we should refrain from doing to other people whatever it is that we would not like done to ourselves. The universal message is, be a good Samaritan. Care for the poor and the most vulnerable. Love your neighbour. And you might ask, who is my neighbour? Well, according to the old Roman Catholic Penny Catechism, my neighbour is all mankind, everyone, every single person. Migration is not an anomaly. Migration is not something new. Population movement has been woven into the fabric of human existence since time immemorial, way back to the time when our distant ancestors migrated out of Africa. Migration is evidence of our basic desire for a better life. So are there any simple actions that we can take to ease the plight of refugees and even to reduce the need for people to leave their home countries for economic reasons? But before we even begin to look at that, think of the importance of our day-to-day friendly interactions with people who are new to Ireland. That's fundamental, a friendly, welcoming attitude. But there's more. First of all, we can educate ourselves and others. Start by informing ourselves about the issues that cause people to become refugees. Listen to people and get to understand the challenges these people face in their home countries. With information, we'd be better able to dispel the common misconceptions about refugees and immigration. Next, we can donate, making sure to give to reputable charities, organisations that directly support refugees. And we need to support programmes to improve the lot of people in their home countries, not only giving food, but the means for people to grow their own. Not only giving technology, but the means for people to develop their own industries. And here at home, on our website here, you'll see we have a Unitarian Welcoming Committee. And there's a link on our website that allows you to support a family who've had to leave home in terrifying circumstances. Next, we can advocate for policies that support refugees, fairer policies that offer more resources and better treatment for migrants. How do we do that? We can email politicians locally, nationally, and internationally. Now you might ask, will they listen? Is there any point in this? Well, there is point in it because at regular intervals, these good people seek re-election, and they will pay attention to a pile of requests from their constituents. Another practical step is to spend mindfully, to support fair trade products and buy from ethical companies. So watch out for fair trade labels. Support ethical businesses. And in this way, we help to ensure that food producers and workers, that they enjoy fair pay and safe working conditions. If people could make a fair living where they are, then, as we can all imagine, they wouldn't feel the need, the urgent need to leave their home country at all. People don't leave home and risk their lives just for the fun of it. And finally, we can volunteer. There are so many organisations with and supporting refugees, working with and supporting refugees. On the Irish website of the UN Human Rights Council, there's a list that offers a great number of possibilities for actively helping out. More than 60 years ago, John F. Kennedy, in his inaugural address, issued this warning in relation to world poverty. He said, "If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich." These words still act as a reminder to us today in a world where the most striking difference between us are the differences between those who have and those who have not. The small minority with the resources, the comforts and the security, and the large majority with little or nothing. A comfortable minority safe behind our walls and gates, and many fleeing from war or famine or environmental chaos, people with little resources, few comforts and no security. And haven't we all noticed how people with money and skills are never considered refugees or economic migrants? People with the money can travel the world as they wish, and they'll be welcomed everywhere. If JFK was here today, and if he was issuing a warning for our time, he might say something like this. If a compassionate society cannot safeguard the displaced and the dispossessed, it cannot protect the privileges of the fortunate few. The message: we need to lower the walls of our fortress of privilege and open our hearts to the needy people shivering outside. Why? Because in a just world, the measure of our society is not how we treat the richest among us, but how we support refugees and the poor.